Down to Dunk Podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Down to Dunk Podcast. It is Friday, December something. It's a snow day podcast. We are all hunkered into our homes, and so we are Skyping each other to do a little podcast for you. Hopefully you listen to this while you are in Oklahoma City, if you are in Oklahoma City, and you can, listen to it while you're a little bored having cabin fever. So we appreciate you tuning in. This is Jay, Andrew, and Taylor are here with me. We want to remind you, as we do always, that you can check us out on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Search for us on iTunes, search Down to Dunk, or go to our website, downtodunk.com. You can find our podcast through all three of those areas. So we've got about seven or eight true or false questions, and we'll talk a little bit of Thunder, kind of following the Portland game, going into New Orleans game tonight. Gentlemen, you ready to do this?
Snow day.
Snow day.
What's Taylor? Snow? What snow? This is actually Stephen Adams. Taylor isn't here right now.
In Australia right now, it's like 120 degrees.
He's from New Zealand anyway, so they're true. Very different. He'd be very offended you just said that.
Your accent was pretty Australian, is all I'm saying. All right, number one, true or false from Ryan Woods, at Ryan Woods. KD and Russ's defense keeps Perk and Tabo in the starting lineup. This comes from Darnell Mayberry, wrote yesterday on Twitter, kind of went on a little rant that until Durant and Russ step it up on the defensive end, they're going to have to use Tabo and Perk to cover up some of their flaws. I don't know what to think about this, guys. What do you guys think?
I think that they're in starting lineup for continuity's sake. I mean, this has been the same starting lineup for like the past almost 4 years. I think that that's the reason why. I don't know that Perk and Tabo right now have enough value to even be on the floor very much. We've been on this continuity ship for a long time, and I think the continuity ship hit an iceberg recently, and it's going down, and Brooks is going down with it, because the starters right now are like a minus 11 per 100 possessions than they were last year.
It's crazy.
It's really bad. So I don't know. I'm not really buying into that. I don't buy that.
So I looked up their defense. I was looking up some stats, and it's kind of hard to tell if a player is a good defender by just their stats, you know. But I was looking at defensive rating and versus offensive rating, and KD's looks about the same as it did the last 2 years, which I don't think he's the issue. But Russ's offensive rating is 97, and his defensive rating is 103. And so if it's one of those two, it's definitely Russ. And that isn't anything new for him. You know, like, he can be a great defender when he wants to be. But, I mean, if he's not putting the effort there, then his guy is just doing whatever he wants.
The thing for me is so why does that matter at the first 8 minutes of the first and second quarter versus why does that matter less later on in the game? You know, like, if their defense is a liability and that's the reason that Perkins and Tabo are playing, then why aren't Perkins and Tabo playing more throughout the rest of the game? Like, that's why it makes me think it leans towards continuity more than anything, because it really isn't. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if your defensive best team for making up for Durant and Russ's liabilities were Perkins and Tabo on the court, then why in the world do they run Reggie Jackson, Jeremy Lamb, Serge Ibaka, you know, like that smaller lineup towards the end of the game? Like, that's what doesn't make sense to me, is it's not like that. That's not a valid argument, because they don't go back to that very often. Rarely ever, other than the first or the third quarter, does that starting five play together ever.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like it even works anyway. Like, their first quarters are terrible. They're awful on defense. And so even if that is the reason they're out there, it's not working anyway.
Yeah, you're playing 3-on-5 on the offensive end.
Well, that's what happens, is there's no rhythm to the game on offense. And so what it does is it gets their whole game into a funk. Anyway, so, but I think it's – I get the question. Like, I get what Darnell Mayberry is saying. I think it's more of a challenge to get those guys up. You know, getting them, you know, not that he challenges those guys, but it is something where, yeah, they need to be better defensively. I get that. But I think in the end, what needs to happen is Brooks needs to stop being so stubborn with that lineup and be smart. I think the question that we'd have to ask, and maybe this is something we can talk about today, is what do you go to? What would be your starting five if you had to change that up?
Well, let's go into the next question, because I think that this we can answer that question through the next true or false question.
Okay, so number two is from Matt_Judkins, and he asks us, Tabo and Perkins should never be on the court at the same time.
I think that kind of lies where maybe we would change the starting lineup. I think that maybe you start it with Jeremy Lamb and leave Perk there. Just because it's going to give them a completely different look, because Jeremy Lamb can create his own shot. I do like Jeremy Lamb coming off the bench, though, but I think that would be the change. In all honesty, I don't think that they're going to change the starting lineup or anything like that. I think we're just kind of stuck with it until there's a trade or a guy's contract expires. But Perk and Tabo on the court recently has been awful. And right now, you can definitely make the case that they shouldn't be. But I'm still a believer in Tabo. I think that Tabo is going to turn it around. I think that his three-point shots are going to start falling with more consistency. I may be alone on that, because I don't think a lot of people are kind of off the Tabo wagon. But I think that he's going to turn it around.
My bigger issue with Tabo is he's missing at the rim.
He's never been good at the rim, though.
Yeah, but it's like point blank off the backboard shots that you learned when you were five. He is just overpowered. I feel like I really do believe that Tabo is trying to do too much.
Yeah,
you know, like go to the corner, knock down threes, play your butt off on defense. He just looks so out of sync. It's not good for the team. It's pretty detrimental. And defensively, he comes and goes. Like, I think that defense he brings is important at some points. At some points, it's not as important as the bad offense he brings. But I don't know. It's one of those things. I'm with you. I'd probably go with Lamb in that starting lineup. And I think at that point, you could even bring Tabo in as a sub for somebody at some point. You know, like when you sub Perkins out for Steven Adams or Nick Collison, you can sub Tabo in for Lamb. And so you still have one defensive specialist on the court at the same time, kind of thing. So what do you think, Taylor?
I think it's hard, because I would like to use Tabo as kind of a defensive specialist who could just hit threes if he's open. But I feel like he would have zero confidence if you used him that way. He seems to be struggling even in this contract year mentally. And I don't know. It's hard. It's like you have to play him 20-25 minutes a game if you want him to produce anything, which right now isn't much, but if you get anything, then that's what you have to do.
Like, trying to read too much into people's body language, it seems like they get put out every time they get benched too. Like, Tabo is just going to hit his stride all of a sudden, and why'd you pull me? Because it was about to get real or whatever. Like, no, it wasn't. You were doing terrible, and you didn't need to be playing at this moment. And the way Lamb has come in and played has just made it even more glaring. Like, Lamb has – there's not a lot that he does that I'm not thinking he could be in the starting lineup and we don't drop off that much. Now, defensively, he doesn't bring that much. But my hope is doesn't bring what Tabo brings. He's not a bad defender, but he's not a great one. Is that, okay, well, Durant steps up and can take on their best player and stretches like that. But – I don't know. I'm pretty high on Lamb right now. I'm pretty high on Steven Adams and Reggie. I just think we have about 7 to 8 guys that I think are a great rotation. And sadly, Tabo and Perkins are not a part of that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard, because it has seemed like those two could be used really well if you use them properly. But they've been the starting guys for so long. What is Brooks supposed to do? All right, now you guys are specialists. You're defensive specialists. I'll use you when I need to use you. Other than that, you know, find a spot on the bench.
And the thing with – I mean, Perkins is bad. Like, I understand that he had success against LaMarcus Aldridge last year. in one of the games in Portland. And so if my belief in that, though, and I think Taylor and I talked about this, is if you're going to put him in on LaMarcus Aldridge, how about before he goes for 16 points in the third quarter or whatever it was? Yes. You know, like, yeah, like jump him in there earlier, let him body him around a little bit. But instead, because what happens when you put Serge on LaMarcus Aldridge, and I know we'll go back to this a little bit in our fourth question here from Jake Tatarian, but when you put Serge on LaMarcus Aldridge, Serge drifts to the middle of the lane too much. Right, because he's a rim protector before he is a one-on-one defender. So LaMarcus Aldridge is that killer guy because what does he do? He knocks down 18-foot jump shots. And so when Serge is helping off trying to stop everybody else, LaMarcus just kind of leaks out and knocks down three-pointers. And so, like, I believe that if you were going to try to be smart defensively and put Perkins on him, you should have pulled that trigger way earlier in the game, and they didn't. But we can go back to that a little bit because I believe that Brooks single-handedly lost that Portland game, in my opinion. But
well, they played awful. And, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge is a really good player. I don't know that it would have mattered that much had you put Perkins on him because he had a career game.
Yeah, he did. And he was hitting some dumb shots.
And it's not like, you know, that Serge wasn't trying. I just think that he had a career night, and there was just nothing that anybody could do to stop him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
And Perkins, I mean, his PER is a career low right now. He's at a 5.4, and if you think about it, league average for PER is 15. I mean, he's a bad NBA player. His turnover rate is up. His rebounding is down. You know, the arguments for Perk are tough at this point. They're really tough, and especially when you have a guy like Steven Adams. Before, we just had Hasheem Thabeet on the bench, and we just kind of dreamed of some sort of trade coming about. But we have a guy that can play, and I just wish that Brooks would trust him a little bit more.
Yeah, that's what's hard, especially Adams in that game. He didn't do anything in that game to make me feel like he couldn't have got more minutes. And it doesn't make sense why he doesn't trust him in that.
He was in foul trouble a lot. I felt like he was about to foul out every 3 minutes.
Perk and Steven Adams got some, and some of Steven Adams were so stupid early. It was just like he set a screen on Wesley Matthews, and Wesley Matthews fell, and they called the foul on Adams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but so
leave him in there, let him foul out. I don't care. You know.
Yeah, I'm with
you. That's true.
One of the things Zach Lowe said, kind of following that, is yesterday he kind of just called out how it makes no sense from a basketball standpoint why Perkins would play on the. Will play for the Thunder at all, let alone what he does as far as his minutes. And he said this is kind of a response. So whenever I write/tweet anything pointing out Perk issues, execs on other West teams implore me to shut up. Gleeful, he still plays so much. And so I think if that's real, like if that's a real statement, which I have no reason to not think it would be, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's difficult because he doesn't bring you much offensively. I mean, you kind of have to grasp at straws to think of things that Perk is good at. And he's a pretty good pick and roll defender. He's good at like very specialized things that do not show up on the stat sheets, which makes him to be a completely frustrating player.
Yeah, absolutely.
And does not mean he should be a starting team a starting player on a potential championship team.
Yeah. He is not the Perkins that was in Boston. He's just not.
Yeah. Let's move on to question number 3 from Steven Gertz. Steven_Gertz. The best crunch time lineup is Russ, Reggie, Tabo, Kevin, and Serge. I would substitute Tabo for Lamb, but then that's who I would say. Or Nick, actually, if we wanted to go a little bigger. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's hard to argue that Tabo it's hard to say that Tabo should be there just because how poorly he's been playing. And I know that he does bring defense, which is nice, but to have another option like Lamb out there, as long as he's not getting abused on the other end, which happened in the Golden State game the other night where they had to bring
Harrison Barnes.
They had to bring in Reggie and put him on the bench and bring in Tabo. But just kind of in a vacuum, I would rather have the Russ, Reggie, Lamb, KD, and Serge.
What about you, Taylor?
They've kind of shown that they, on offense, they can just run anyone. I mean, they are so fast. Your center is Serge Ibaka, and he's running past all of your big guys. you know. He's become such a good rebounder now that it's like it's not a liability to have him be your primary rebounder on the team.
Yeah, his defensive rebounds are up almost 3 rebounds this season, dang, which is pretty crazy. It's
crazy.
So did you guys hear what Durant said yesterday in the interview? They kind of were talking about that lineup right there that we were just talking about with Lamb, and he said, I may be the least athletic of the entire bunch, you know, which is true. Like, I don't know if running those 5 guys, that's some freak athletes and crazy length and crazy athleticism. It's a really fun lineup to watch play together, and I think that I want to see more of it. And I think we will see more of it. Like, as much as I do harp on Brooks, he has been better this year, in my opinion. For the most part, in playing good lineups and moving people around and not being so – I mean, he'll pull Perk pretty quick, which is – for him, I know it's probably like trying to bench your own son or something. But he has been better. And so I think the further on we get in the season, the more he can trust Lamb and see Lamb's development and Reggie continues to do what he's doing, I think that's going to be a starting five – or a finishing five we're going to have down the line. It's going to be terribly dangerous.
Yeah.
That lineup, too, defensively could be – devastating for another team. Like if all 5 of those people just were like, I'm going to focus on my guy, because they can all keep up with whoever's out there. You know, if they just focused on their guy, Russ specifically is who I'm talking about, who kind of gets lost on defense. But if they could lock anyone down, Lamb is a pretty good defender. Reggie's an excellent on-ball defender. And then you have Serge, of course, and Durant's a pretty good defender.
And what they will lack in the sense of what they can – like if they get beat, they have enough athleticism and length that they could make up for their shortcomings on defense. And that's a good question. Thank you, Steven. The next one from Jake Tatarian. We talked about this a little bit. The Trailblazers are a scarier opponent for the Warriors than the Thunder – or for – excuse me. The Trailblazers are a scarier opponent than the Warriors are for the Thunder. If you had to face one of these two teams in the playoffs, if you had to choose one of the two, who would you rather have?
Man, I kind of think I would rather take the Warriors now. Because the Warriors can get hot and they can light you up. They can't do it for 4 games against us. You know what I mean? The Trailblazers can slow the game down and run half-court sets through LaMarcus Aldridge, and obviously that works. You know, they've been doing that against everyone, and they're still getting fast break points against people. They didn't against us this game, but did you see the differential in fast break points, by the way?
Huh.
It was like we had 27 and they had like 8 or something.
Yeah. The Thunder played, if it wasn't for LaMarcus Aldridge, they played the perfect defensive game. Like, they shut down all their guards. Wesley Matthews didn't do anything. Batum had 6 points, but that 3 at the end where Durant fell asleep was the only one that was, you know, really mattered. But I don't know. It's hard for me to say that because the Warriors, they're terrifying in their streakiness, you know? Like,
yeah.
Well, if the Warriors are healthy, I'd be more scared of the Warriors than I would of the Blazers. I think the Blazers are just on a hot streak right now. I don't fully believe that this team is going to be a contender. I do think if the Warriors are completely healthy, that they're a title contender, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because they can hit threes. I mean, they can play down low with Bogut and Lee. Harrison Barnes, obviously, is an incredible player. And then you have Andre Iguodala. I mean, they just have a lot more different looks that they can throw at you than Portland does.
Portland, though, their three-point game is actually top 5 right now. And their three-point defense is top 10, I think, as well. So they're not on the same level as Golden State, but they're scoring from all over the court too. They really are. And they have a guy who can do everything in Nick Batum. I think that the Warriors probably – the Warriors definitely have a better defense with Andrew Bogut at the rim, but I don't think that they're that far ahead offensively.
Yeah. One thing is that I've seen the Warriors do it in the playoffs.
Right.
That's true.
Against the Spurs.
Nick Batum and LaMarcus Aldridge and Damian Lillard, I mean, those guys haven't even seen the playoffs. They don't even know what it's like. I mean, Aldridge has been in the playoffs, but he's never been out the first round.
Yeah. So
I've seen Stephen Curry do it, and you know, and I know that Andre Iguodala is going to step up because he knows how to play in the playoffs. I would be much more afraid of this team, even though it's hard to not pick the Blazers just watching right now, them recently. Sure. But I think that we have to see the bigger picture.
So let's ask this question as a follow up. If you had to pick your top 4, if you had to pick your top 4 seeds in the West, who do you pick?
By the end of the season or right now?
By the end of the season.
Go ahead, Andrew.
OKC, San Antonio. Then it just kind of gets murky from there.
Yeah,
I would.
It's the Warriors, Blazers, Rockets, right? That's one. That's the three.
Clippers.
Right now it's the top five is Portland, San Antonio, OKC, Clippers, Houston, and then after that it's Denver, Dallas, Golden State.
Yeah,
but I think that how it's going to shake out, I do see the Clippers being in there. I think the Clippers are going to win lots and lots of games. I don't believe in them as a playoff team.
Even with J.J. Redick being out for 2 to 4 weeks?
I think so. They have lots of depth.
Yeah. It's just weird depth. Anyway, but I think that you're replacing J.J. Redick with who, Matt Barnes or Jamal Crawford, Willie Green. You know,
give Jamal Crawford more minutes. And
yeah. Which doesn't help them defensively at all, but...
Well, they're not good defensively anyways.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Next question, number five. This came from us, but it's just Derrick Rose yesterday in an interview said that he could possibly come back for the playoffs if the Bulls make the playoffs. And so I think a question that we need to ask is him saying that actually a bad idea?
I don't get why he would say that after everything that happened last year with people saying like, oh yeah, he could come back. He's cleared to play. And then he doesn't come back and you have all this backlash from fans. And I don't know how the locker room was, but maybe there was some confusion. I just don't understand why you would say that again. Cause what if something happens and you can't, or what if you don't feel like you're ready by then? It's so far away. You should not be saying anything.
I think the only thing that I would say is different is that this is not an ACL tear, right? Like, it's not a structural deal, you know? And I think that makes a difference. And I think he's feeling pretty confident. But what is crazy to think, and this is maybe totally unrelated, but I feel like there's some correlation to how the Bulls turned out last night against the Heat and Derrick Rose having some positive things to say. Like, you could feel that locker room just get their demeanor destroyed when Derrick Rose went down. And you could see it last night. For the first time since then, they looked like they didn't give up on the season. They blew the Heat away, which, you know, whatever. I don't really take that as saying, hey, they could win the playoff series without Derrick Rose. But what I do think is that they're going to pull out of this little slump and win some games and get to the playoffs. And who knows by that point? You saw Russ respond. As long as there's not stitches left inside of his knee, I think that to a surgery, Derrick Rose has a possibility of doing it. I would just shut my mouth if I was him and just show up.
That's the thing. Just show up. If you can do it, then you can do it. But why would you say something, you know, 6 months ahead of time?
Yeah, I think it's real dumb. I mean, the Bulls fans just went through this. Like, don't give him that hope because you just don't know. There's no way to know. That's true. I know that yesterday in the interview, he was trying to be as optimistic as he could, you know, saying that he's not down about it, that it's going to give him more time to grow as a man and to spend time with his son. And then he was just trying to be optimistic about it, but people are going to focus on that. Oh, he's coming back for the playoffs, you know, and who knows what he's going to look like in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, he honestly didn't look awesome
very good at all
season.
This year, no.
So, like, what is that really going to do for your team? I mean, I don't know.
He hasn't really been rust-free in, like, 2 years. Like, you know, even when he came back from the back thing, he was still rusty, and then the ACL, and then all this stuff. Like, he hasn't played good Derrick Rose, like, since his MVP year.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be – it's just more rust. So he might be able to come back, but it doesn't mean he's – I mean, that's a lot of rust to work through.
In my opinion, just hush your mouth, move on,
yeah.
Work out, come back if you can. That'd be great. It'd be a great surprise for everybody. It's like Kobe Bryant. If you watch Kobe Bryant and Russ and all these other teams, like, very cautious about everything they say. Like, I'll come back when I feel like I'm healthy, and I don't know when that's going to be. You know, like,
just say there's no timetable, and then everybody will – it's a non-story then. Like,
exactly.
Like, nobody's going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, next question. Jason Kidd will be fired before the new year. I'll say false, but it should be true.
I'm going to say true.
I think like, it's – go ahead.
I just think – like, did you guys hear about the Lawrence Frank thing that happened too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just to explain it. So I guess they've been going at it. They have been arguing with each other about how they should be coaching the team or whatever, just schemes, whatever. And so Jason Kidd dismissed him as an basically from the bench next to him, right? And said he is going to do daily reports for the team, which basically means like you're suspended, like get out of here, get out of, you know, you're not really going to help us anymore. And that is your best help right there. Like Lawrence Frank has, he hasn't really had success in the win-loss column, but he's, I think he's considered a pretty good coach. And so, I don't know, you dismiss the guy who can help you the most. You're still losing.
Well, I heard that the daily reports were really awful before, and they really needed to buckle down on the daily reports.
So you dismiss your best guy? Like, they got lawyers. They lawyered up. Like, Lawrence Frank is mad.
Yeah, no, it's bad. It's a bad
situation. It's really bad.
The only thing that makes me think that they won't do anything is because their owner is such a hands-off guy. Like, they did fire Avery Johnson early last year. And so there is that possibility. I just think that, I don't know, Jason Kidd's terrible.
And why did anyone expect him to be good?
Because he was, I don't know.
Yeah, he's a first-year coach. Most first-year coaches struggle. And he's been given a team that is riddled with injuries, and their locker room is apparently just a big fat mess. I mean, he has done a bad job. I mean, it's been a circus basically in Brooklyn this whole season. And then the spilling of the drink thing. And then you have the whole Lawrence Frank deal. And now he's blaming everything on injuries to the media. It's just, it's bad. But I don't think they're going to let him go. They just retired his number. The Nets did. I mean, they just raised his jersey up on a big fat banner, and they're going to fire him after a couple months. I don't think they will.
They fired the best coach that team has had in a while, in Avery Johnson. There was no reason to fire Avery Johnson when they did.
He was doing a crappy job, though.
No, he was winning, and then they went to 500 when people were getting hurt, when his best players were getting hurt on the team. He was doing a pretty good job.
Here's the major
issue. This is way different, though, because Avery Johnson had been a player, had been a coach in this league for a long time and took a team to the finals, and they had high expectations for him. But I think that they're going to ride this out with Kidd because he's a first-year coach. He's been coaching just for a few weeks.
14 games. Here's the deal, though. This is the biggest mistake they made. You ready? Number one, they should have never hired Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Number two, they should have never put their hope of their franchise in Darren Williams. The guy is a flop since he left Utah.
Yeah.
Very true. He can't keep those ankles. His ankles are worse than Curry's.
Well, no.
And I don't think he cares as much as Curry.
He got his money, man. Why would he care? Anyway, the Nets, I thought they would be way better. And I still think they have a chance to be something because the East is so terrible to make the playoffs at least. But I don't see them doing much if they do make the playoffs, which kind of leads to our last question for true or false. Is these playoffs should be just the top six teams in the league. Right now it's eight teams from each conference. And if you look at the conferences right now, the Western Conference is how many – sorry, I'm pulling this up right now as we're talking, but the Western Conference has like 10 teams that are at or above 500, and then the Eastern Conference has like...
There would only be three teams in the East that would make it if this was the right system.
Which is ridiculous.
It would just be Indiana, Miami, and Washington. And that's it.
It's terrible. What do you think the chances would be of just completely switching up the conferences?
Just abolishing the conferences?
Or just like switching, just going like half and half, like pulling names out of a bucket.
Oh, I don't think so. It's going to, I mean, you never know, because there's going to be a new commissioner and he may have some ideas about this, and this may push teams to be a little bit more competitive in the East. I don't know if they did that, but it's going to be a long while before this happens if it does.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good idea. I mean, these would be your first round matchups. You'd have Indiana, Minnesota, you'd have Portland, Washington, you'd have the Spurs and the Lakers, you'd have Miami and Memphis, which I think would be an awesome series just because of how different those teams are.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City, New Orleans, the Clippers and Phoenix, Houston, Golden State, and Denver and Dallas. I mean, like, all those series, like, I would legitimately watch all those series. Instead, you're going to have to watch, you know, Indiana and the Bobcats. Like, I'm not watching that.
And it's crazy, too. The teams in the West that wouldn't make the playoffs in the West have a good record that it would be good in the East, but it would be even better in the East if they were playing all those other East teams, too. So you have all these mediocre West teams that would be good teams in the East.
Yeah, and it's just unfair. Minnesota right now is 9-10 in the Western Conference, but they've played the Thunder twice. They have a high strength of schedule. And then you look at another team that's 10-10, like the Hawks. I'd take Minnesota in 5 games over the Hawks in a playoff series.
Yeah,
you know. It's an unfair system right now. Which the world's not fair, and I get that, you know. But it's just one of those things. For me, it's just make it more competitive. Like, it's not fair. And these teams in the East, like, even if you look at the East, like, there's teams that are not trying to be good that are going to make the playoffs. Yeah. You know, like, they're trying to be bad. The Celtics are going to make the playoffs, and then the Timberwolves, who are a better team and are actually equipped to win games, are going to be in the lottery. That's the stuff that didn't make sense. Like,
well, you just got to wait until things shake out. It's still early. But the East is
there's nothing awful. Nothing in the East that makes me think any of those teams are going to get better.
No,
like, they'll build their schedule up on, like, they might. The Raptors and the Wizards and the Hawks will probably get over 500 because they're going to beat up on the Cavs and the other.
Well, and there could be trades too. That's true. The Raptors could unload their good players to another East team and make them a lot better.
All the Knicks need is Rudy Gay on their team. And then that's all they need. That's all they're missing.
What's funny is that I don't think they have the trade chips to get Rudy Gay.
No, they don't. It'd have to be like Melo.
I do think when Tyson Chandler comes back that the Knicks will be a better team.
Yeah.
And I think if the Nets get healthy that they'll be a better team. But, those are ifs.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's going to be – I mean, the East is going to be rugged, and it's going to bring – this conversation, you know, this is just the beginning of this conversation. There's going to be big-time talk of this come April because the records are going to be so much different from the East to the West. And a lot of it is just that all the good executives are in the West.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's true.
I mean, there's not that many good executives out East. They're just not, and that's a huge difference between teams. I mean, you have some luck with the lottery and with the draft, but you have to have people that can make good decisions. And if they can't make good decisions, it's, you know, we're seeing what the result is.
You know, absolutely. I'd like to sometime look into, like, the ownership culture in the East versus the West too, because, like, I want to see, like, who are the guys who are buying East teams? You know, the guys who live in New York, the guys who live on the coast versus the guys who are buying team or the groups that are buying teams in the West. I'd like to look at that because that might have a lot to do with it.
Yeah. The geography, the cultural, all those things that play into it. You know, what's the difference between a guy like Presti and a guy like Donnie Walsh or whatever? It's not Donnie Walsh. What's the guy in New York? It used to be Donnie Walsh. What's his name now?
Oh my gosh. Who's the owner? Everyone's making, oh my gosh. Andrew, come on.
I think Andrew got sidetracked by his kid.
Dang it. No, I literally make fun of him every day.
Hey, what did you guys ask?
The owner of the Knicks.
James Dolan.
Dolan. There we go. Yeah. Like, we'll that guy is Preston. A mess.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, gentlemen, that's all we got on our true or false today. Give me a real quick. What do you want to see tonight in the Hornets game? Or the Pelicans, excuse me.
I want to see KD not play in the fourth quarter is what I want to see. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially with Anthony Davis out. Ryan Anderson has been playing really well. I just want to see some consistent defense and they need to blow this team out. They just do.
And then get ready for Indiana on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the game. This is kind of a filler game.
Yep. Absolutely.
But you have to watch out for those games just because, like, the Sacramento game. I mean, you can have these kind of scheduled trap games where you're looking ahead and then all of a sudden Ryan Anderson scores 50 on you.
Mm-hmm.
it's sad that as soon as Ryan Anderson gets back and gets kind of going, Anthony Davis breaks his hand. Like, as soon as the Pelicans could have become something, it's just injury bug. So I still think the Pelicans are going to have a good second half of the season. I like Anthony Davis. I think they just got good parts. Tyreke Evans is still a terrible pickup, but everything else I feel like I really enjoy on that team. So I do expect them to blow them out. Hopefully that happens. So anyway, well, you guys enjoy the game tonight.
You too, Jay.
All right. Thanks for joining us on the Down to Dunk podcast. Remember, check us out on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Search for us on iTunes. Search Down to Dunk. Also, you can go to our website, downtodunk.com, find our podcast and some other random posts there. Enjoy Bedlam tomorrow. Enjoy some good basketball tonight. Enjoy the snow. And we'll see you next time.